Well, good evening, everyone, and good evening to you, Clay. How you doing?
I'm good, Elsa. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. I'm excited for tonight's show. It's going to be a good one. Not that the other ones aren't good, but this is we got some big topics. I'm excited.
Yeah, as folks know, we normally record on Tuesday. Today is Super Tuesday. So we don't know what the outcome is going to be. You guys will know by the time this airs. We will all know what the results of Super Tuesday are. So keep that in mind as you're watching. But yeah, it's a big day. Big day all the way around.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's get this intro out of the way and then we'll get started. Oh my goodness. So listen, so actually before we get started, I want to start off on an actual personal note here that I didn't share with you beforehand. We are on active baby watch right now for grandbaby number 3. She's actually due on the 20th. So as Clay said, today for us right now, us recording is Tuesday the 5th. This airs on the 7th. So there is a very good chance that I could be in Florida as you guys watch this. I'll be watching it with you. But yes, because she did say she's not sure, but she's feeling kind of possibly. So the doctor said, keep an eye on it. I have 3 tabs open on my computer here with flights ready to go. I'm supposed to fly out on the 13th, but so everybody, we will see. And if there is a baby to be told about, I will share it in the comments with you guys on Thursday. But that's my personal note I wanted to share with everybody.
So you said this is number 4?
Number 3. This is baby number 3.
And so let me tell you, for her?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And she knows whether this is happening or not.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's like, yeah, you should just keep those flight tabs open just in case. So yeah, it could be, it could be any moment. It could be right after this show, I could be trying to find a flight out. But yes. So it's crazy town over there. So she has a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old and baby on the way. Yeah.
She's going to need your help. She's definitely going to need your help.
She's got an amazing support system there. Her husband is an absolute sweetheart. He's terrific with the kids. Her mother-in-law and father-in-law are there. They're wonderful. So she's got a huge support system there, but there's nothing like mommy. There's nothing like mommy being there to help.
Of course.
So I keep telling her. Oh, all right. So that's that. That is the personal note out of the way. Let's get right down to business. We're talking CDC guideline change. So this is kind of funny to me in a way, Clay. I have to be honest, because my first reaction when I saw this was to go, is anybody paying attention to those still? Who's listening to that? And then I remembered, wait, there are still people walking around with masks on. So yeah, there are people who are paying attention. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was funny to me. I had the same kind of reaction, like, we haven't heard from the CDC in a while. Like, this is, odd, but folks, this has to do with COVID and it's the new COVID guidelines. And, there are businesses out there that still abide by these things, especially when it comes to, do they have to pay people for time off, and what are their own internal policies when somebody tests positive for COVID? And the quarantine that's been required and all of these other things. So the new CDC guideline is, if you don't feel sick and you're not showing symptoms, whether you test positive or not, you don't have to stay home. So basically, COVID is now a cold. That's where we're at. It is a cold.
That's quite a jump from just a couple short years ago that we all still have trauma from, which was what the 10-day isolation period was, what their recommendation was at the time. Besides the complete lockdown and shutdown of everything, the entire universe shut down and was locked away for fear of this scary, scary
except Walmart mm-hmm. and grocery stores. Now that was okay. We were fine with that.
That was okay.
We had plexiglass, which did yes. absolutely nothing.
Right.
Everybody wore a mask. Remember the little feet on the floor? This is all going to become like when we're about 20 years from now, we're going to have like that. Those are going to be whatever the meme is, whatever that mm-hmm. medium is 20 years from now. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see two green feet on the floor
yep.
or like a double-ended arrow that says 6 feet or something like that. And it's like, if you're old enough to know what this is, you can drink now, or you probably need a colonoscopy or something like that. Those, all of those things are going to come back to haunt us. It's going to be all those.
Yeah, you are so eerily right. That is so accurate of what's going to happen, what it's going to be. It's going to be like part of a drinking game or something. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I remember the one, so many things got me scratching my head. But one of the things I remember really kind of changing my perspective, you know, because I was like, I think in the very beginning, we were all scared, which is the whole point, you know, how it got to the way it was and the way people still are, some people. But then you start seeing things, and you're seeing people with surgical gloves on, you know, with their latex gloves on and their mask, and they're walking into the store, and they're like reaching their hand underneath their mask with their glove on to like scratch their nose. And then they're picking up something and handing it over, and some other person. And it was like one of those moments where you kind of went, hang on, I'm not a doctor, and I might not be the brightest person in the world, but even I'm sitting here going, that doesn't really seem right. Like, if this is as bad and as scary as they're saying it is, and I'm not saying people didn't die, I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying some things did not add up. Like, where are all the biohazard waste containers to put those gloves and masks on? Because I'm pretty sure I saw a lot of them in the parking lots all over the place, you know? So
I'd be willing to bet the two biggest pieces of trash, you know, for years it was the plastic bag, mm-hmm. but now if you go to the landfills, the two biggest things you're going to find are masks and gloves without
question. Yeah, I think you're right.
They're going to be everywhere. Absolutely. They are everywhere, you know, and we went to the non-disposable, the t-shirt material, just because it was comfortable.
Right.
You know, I remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, you know, flying just started to become normal again. People were still, I think it was kind of on the edge of, you didn't have to wear a mask on a plane anymore. But I looked over and I looked down the aisle, and a guy like I think he was across the aisle, so maybe a couple, three seats over, and the window was open, and he had a mask on his face, but it was a screen. You could see right through. You could see the light through it. And I'm like, we've lost our minds. Like, this is, we have become so dumb at this point. It's not even funny,
yes.
But this is, you know, this is what research does, and this is how much time research takes. And I understand that we made a lot of decisions then based on a lot of bad guesses. Mm-hmm. You know, we the ventilator thing turned into that was just a tragedy. You know, oh my God, they come in the hospital, they get diagnosed, put them on a vent, and it ended up, that was killing them. That was literally killing people.
Literally.
But this, you know, we did the vaccines with no research. We did the vaccines with no testing. We did, you know, and then they were mandated, you know, and then we said, you know, the grocery store was okay, but church wasn't okay. You know, we did all of those things that we did were all knee-jerk reactions. Every one of them was politicized. You know, doctors, you know, when you've got doctors divided on how to handle a medical issue, and I'm not talking one or two, I'm talking clear lines of division across the entire medical community about medication, no medication, vent, no vent, you know, immunization versus not, you know, the vaccine versus not, all of those things. And there are so many people, as you pointed out, who still to this day, you see them driving by themselves in their car with a mask on.
Walking their dog out in the fresh open air.
It's been a couple of months, and they have said, unless it's an N95, it does nothing. Surgical mask, t-shirt mask. They've come out and said it does absolutely nothing. I still see people every day wearing a mask and wearing, knowing publicly, you know, that it does nothing. Still wearing. It's crazy.
Yep. I just saw somebody. Well, I mean, I see lots of somebody's, but I noticed this woman in particular in Trader Joe's yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And yeah, it was just, it's just sad. You know, I can't even, it's hard. You know, I make fun. I won't say you make fun. I make fun. I say, look at this one, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to it, really, it's so sad to see what this has done to people, to their mental health, to, you know, to their psyche. And it is really, really sad. I remember one of the things that really, really struck me, like when we first started getting let out of our cages, you know, and like blinking at the light, you know, when we start congregating again or started congregating again in places, in just like a short period of time, a matter of months or a year, we'll say a year, how much people physically changed. That blew my mind. Like people that we used to see every week, you know, I've mentioned before that my husband, you know, plays drums on the side. He's in a couple of bands. And we used to go all the time, every single week, a few times a week to either open mics or see other bands play, all that kind of stuff. So these were people we saw every single week. And then we didn't see them for like a year, basically. And the first time we all started getting back together again, it was shocking. They were so aged. And I'm not saying that we weren't, you know, maybe we were, I don't really know. I wasn't, obviously.
Sure, of course.
Of course, everybody else was. But they were so aged by the whole thing. And that was so sad to me to see that. And you see it everywhere. That's the case, you know, it's just depressing, very depressing. And, you know, looking at seeing the comparison of like the things that we know now, the things that a lot of people were saying all along and were getting, you know, ostracized for saying it and banned and blocked and, villainized for, and now we're all coming to light. And now they're saying, yeah, that's, well, actually, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And there are still people, though, that don't know this. Like, I think they don't know this, or they refuse to admit that they know, because then they would have to basically apologize to all the people that they were like horrendous to. I know people, and I'm sure we all do. You probably know people as well. I know people whose families that used to get together all the time, very close-knit families, don't speak anymore because of that, because of COVID, because of the vaccines, differing opinions. And like this drove families apart, among many other things. It's sad.
And I'll tell you that, you know, it's one of those things that you keep seeing, I keep seeing float around social media, and it is as true as anything else that's out there. And that is, remember everything that happened from the beginning of the pandemic now. And remember that when November rolls around, because it's the same people, the people who dictated how you had to live your life, where you could go, shut down businesses, put people out of work, and now are claiming that they've generated all these new jobs that they destroyed in the first place 3 years ago, right? It's all the same people. And I don't care what party it is, because they were all colluding together on this. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more on one side than the other, but if they were in government at the time, and they didn't fight on the daily to stop the madness, then they're complicit like everybody else. But
I agree.
We all need to remember that when it rolls around in November, who is responsible for this? And because this is, for an entire generation of people, this is a calendar mark event. Like, where were you? How old were you? What school were you going to? What was your job? Like, it's not an incident like Kennedy or 9/11 or Pearl Harbor or something like that. This is a Great Depression, right? Mm-hmm. Pandemic, you know, kind of a thing that we all are going to remember. But we can't let it fade from our memory when it comes to how our own government treated us and what it did to all of us and our livelihoods and restricted our jobs and the impact on our children who were in school at the time. all of those things. We can't forget this when it comes time to vote in November. Look it up. Look up the voting record of your representation, blue or red, don't care. See how they voted when it came to COVID-related things, and make sure that they understand that you're not going to tolerate that crap again. Because after this election cycle, God knows what's coming around the bend.
Yeah, absolutely. That is 100% true. And I know it in my bones that there is going to be a next thing, you know, and, you know, they found out the most important thing, the most important takeaway for those people, we're talking about these elite people in power, is that, yes, you can control the masses. You absolutely can. You scare them enough, and you have control. Can they do the same thing? I don't think so. You can't pull another COVID on us, because I think there are enough people now that will say, absolutely not doing it, not buying it. So they will come up with something else. There will be something else. And I know I sound like one of the conspiracy theorists, you know, get my tinfoil hat, but I don't think I'm wrong. So there.
Listen, you don't have to dig. You don't have to go too far down the rabbit hole to find things to be suspicious of. I mean, how many, you know, railroad derailments have there been? How many food processing plant fires has there been? The wildfires in Texas right now, the fires in Hawaii, like all of the, there's so much of that stuff going on that is different from any time in the past. You can't help to be at least somewhat skeptical. Like you said, it's not full out tinfoil hat kind of stuff. You can explain away, not explain away, but you can put some credence behind, you know, infrastructure not being maintained like it should be, the railways and those kinds of things. But again, even if it's not conspiracy, even if it is fact and they just haven't been maintaining the railways, whose fault is that? It's the federal government. So it doesn't matter if they did it on purpose or it's due to negligence, it's still their fault. So, you know, there's still responsibility that has to be maintained, and we all know where it lies. It's amazing that people who believe in big government and support big government, except when it's time to blame the government, and then they don't think so. And I it's amazing to me, but yeah, we'll all have to sit by and watch, you know, and figure out what's coming next, and just continue to be vigilant, be skeptical. That's all we can do.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that is really the key takeaway, to keep a very healthy sense of skepticism in your pocket at all times, in all things. Stop believing everything you've seen. And, you know, more so than ever, you know, the past couple episodes we talked about, and we won't go into it, just touching on it very quickly. We talked about AI, all this artificial stuff that you can basically deep fake anything and anyone at any time. The internet is filled with fake news, basically fake things, fake everything. Be skeptical. For goodness sake, you know, it's beyond necessary at this point. So, yes. And since we're on the track of things our government does and says, let's talk about this. Well, I mean, who could have ever seen this coming down the pike, that legalizing drugs, hard drugs possession, is bad? Who would ever think that? It's so baffling to me. I'm stunned by this change of course. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, guys.
So, Oregon, which, you know, truthfully is like the hotbed of liberalism. I mean, that whole Pacific Northwest is, you know, it's everywhere. It literally is embedded in everything. You know, talk to people, and really, if you go, I won't say the whole state of California, but, you know, from the Bay Area, right? I mean, San Francisco, Oakland is crazy. And then, you know, LA is its own kind of crazy. But anyway, so Oregon, for people that don't know and probably close their eyes because of the absurdity of this entire thing, I think it was 2020, they decriminalized, or maybe it was 2021, they decriminalized everything up to and including, I think, black tar heroin. Possession.
Yeah, yeah, I have a partial list. You ready? Synthetic, they okayed, decriminalized synthetic opioid fentanyl, as well as heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. Sounds like a great idea. Go on.
So the idea was that if you gave people access to it, then it could be regulated and, oh, by the way, taxed. It was supposed to be a moneymaker for the state that they were going to turn around and use for treatment programs for people on the very same drugs. It's kind of like how the lottery money is supposed to go to education and tolls mm-hmm. are supposed to fix the highways. And none of that seems to be working anyway. This one was for that. And they didn't regulate it well. They didn't none of it worked out the way it was supposed to. The only thing that came out of it, which is what anybody with a half a brain anticipated, was mm-hmm. overdose deaths skyrocketed.
Right.
Through the roof.
Yep.
And that's why they flipped this over. It's like this whole, well, we defunded the police and we shrunk the police force and then we decriminalized drugs and now all these people are dying. We don't understand what happened.
It's so weird. So strange.
I can't.
And I'm not laughing because it's funny. This is like horrified laugh. You know, it's like gallows humor. Like you have to laugh because the insanity of it will make you scream. You know, the stupidity, never mind insanity, the stupidity, the greediness, the callousness, the carelessness of these things. And you hit it right on the head. This was about making money, getting money, and not caring at all about any sense of reality that, you know, if you give free rein to addicts, they're going to die. They're going to overdose. They can't. That's the whole premise of addiction, that you don't have control over yourself like that. And, you know, they're like, no, this is going to work out really good. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And, you know, funny thing, speaking about AI and Google and all of those things, which I didn't mention Google just a moment ago, but in the past I did, we did. I wanted to pull up some images of Oregon, of Portland specifically, of what it looks like today, right now. So I did a Google search and, you know, according to Google, it looks gorgeous. Perfect. If you look now, go do it, guys. Well, don't do it now because we're talking here. But after we're done, you can open up another tab. I'll let you go ahead and open another tab or grab it up on your phone or something. Just go ahead into your Google search, type in Oregon or Oregon today. I think I typed in what does Portland look like today? And the first, 20 plus pictures were all like beautiful scenic overviews and everything. You know, I mean, you got to dig pretty good to find the gritty pictures of, you know, reality of how things are looking. But listen, I did a live shortly before we came on to record tonight, and several people were checking in, you know, saying, oh, I'm from here, there, all over the place. People as far as Switzerland, how crazy is that? But anyhow, I had several people that happened to be in Oregon, and I told them, I said, hey, we're going to be talking about you guys tonight or this week. So make sure you tune in. So you guys from Oregon that were in the live chat, I hope you're in this episode too. And you pipe in, I want to know from you. And I don't know if they can do it in the chat. If it's a possibility, if you can put pictures in. If you've got pictures to show us, we would love to see what your area or that area is looking like right now. So it might be interesting, Clay, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, this is one of those, you know, everybody wants the instant reaction. They want the instant, like, hey, let's put this in place. You know, boom, on this day, we're going to legalize all this stuff. And on this day, we're going to fire off all these programs. Well, you know, and I know that one, it's a government operation, so nothing's mm-hmm. going to go smoothly. It's none of it's going right. to go according to plan. None of it's going to go on time. And it's all going to be under budgeted, right? They're not mm-hmm. going to allocate enough money for this. So right. all of these great programs that are supposed to be funded by all of this, you know, all of these regulated taxed funds that were supposed to come from these drugs are, that money's not coming for years. And oh, by the way, the programs don't just pop up overnight. Like, they take years to establish, but they turn the light switch on. And you know, like you said, addicts, users, you know, took advantage. They did what they do. Sure. And it's horrible and it's shameful, but it was allowed. Not only was it allowed, it was actually encouraged in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, keep using. We'll take care of you. We'll get you into a program, blah, 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 blah. It'll use under supervision, right? It's all of those things they wanted to do. And what ended up happening? What everybody with any amount of common sense knew was going to happen. It got out of control and people died. More people died than were dying before. So they've got to shut it off. They have no other option, period. But you're still going to have people who believe that this is a good idea.
Yeah,
it is. I am not a fan of this. You will never convince me that this is a good idea. I'm still on the fence about marijuana, and I know people are going to tell me that I'm old fashioned. I don't think that there's anything wrong, truthfully, with marijuana in and of itself, except for the fact that I am a 100% believer that it is a gateway to other drugs. That's it. Right. It's not that that's bad, but what it leads to is bad. And that's why I'm not in support of it. And listen, I've got friends and probably family members who are probably, you know, extended family who are going to listen to this and be like, what is he taught? You know, they smoke. It's a commonality nowadays. There's so many states where it's legal recreationally and okay, fine. It is what it is. I don't necessarily believe in it. And this is what you get, but you're still going to have people that are going to say, oh, well, this and hallucinogens are okay. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you'll have some people, and this is where I think things get very, very cloudy and gray. This is America. You have your own choice to do what you want.
Right.
Okay. Until you die on the sidewalk, until you're operating a vehicle and you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, until you become, and I'm a little bit mean. I'm the first one to admit it. And my husband, if he were in here right now, he'd be going, she's mean. But I'm a little bit mean. And I will honestly say that, you know, I'm kind of like, listen, do what you want to yourself. Do what you want. Do it. You know, I don't know what to tell you, but now you're jeopardizing the health and safety and well-being of other people. Now you are a hazard to me, to my children, my grandchildren. And so help me God, anything happens to them because of what somebody else is doing, you know, impaired, impaired. You know, they better pray that they don't live. They just better pray that they don't live to tell the story because they won't. I am with you. And yes, I'm going to have people, and we'll have people in the comments are like, oh, stop, you're being dramatic, you know, with the pot and everything. Listen, all I can tell you is I am so sick and tired of every single store, restaurant, street, everywhere you go now, you are bowled over by the reek, the stench of marijuana. Everybody is, I smell it everywhere. I was just in a store today and a couple walked by and the smell, like I wanted to throw up. It was so overwhelming and disgusting. And listen, I don't even have anything against pot. I got people in my life that'll tell you, oh yeah, she had some fun in her day once upon a time. I did. I'm fine with that. That was then, this is now. And I don't want to smell it when I'm walking around. I don't want to smell it from the car driving down the road in front of me and it's coming back from my vents. I just don't, you know.
Chong.
Right. Like exactly. Chong, it's like, what is going on here? And, you know, and go ahead, you know, comment section. I mean, I can't be the only one experiencing this, noticing this. Every restaurant I go into, that smell comes around the corner or from the next table and it's disgusting. And, you know, besides all that, so that's just my own aesthetics and all that.
But that's a real thing though. I mean, my son and I went and played pickup soccer on Sunday and, you know, he's now 18 and, you know, we were leaving and he's been doing this since he was a kid. He looks at me, he goes, drinking a snack. So I had to stop and get gas. Right. So stop and get gas. He runs in, he grabs us a couple of sodas and some munchies for the ride. And there's a group of teenagers at this, you know, it's a nice, you know, gas station convenience store kind of thing. And they're out in the parking lot and they're wandering in and out and blah, blah, blah. And my son comes back and he gets in the vehicle and he says, they all smell like pot, Dad. They were all high, every one of them, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. But 15 kids, 20 kids roaming around, you know?
Right.
So you've got that. Oh, by the way, public service announcement for all you old deadheads, patchouli oil is worse than pot. So don't think that covers anything up. Don't do that either.
No, please.
All right. So just to go back to the Oregon thing to clean that up. It was a horrible idea to begin with. It was failure meant to happen. Unfortunately, people died because people were stupid. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was a stupid decision. Mm-hmm. You can criticize me all you want for being crass. I don't care. It was a horrible decision by that state government and people paid the price for it. And that's where we're at. And now they've learned an unfortunate lesson that they have to reverse and go backwards so they prevent any more useless death based on overdose. Right. Terrible.
Yep, it is. It really is. It's it's awful and so incredibly unsurprising, right along with the whole defund the police. Oh, can we refund the police? No, we're just kidding. You know, all of these ideas and the tip off, guys. And I know our viewers and listeners already know this. But if somebody accidentally strays in here from a different perspective that thinks that these are all good ideas, that agrees with them, that these are all good ideas, here's a little tip off for you. If the government is telling you it's a good thing, there's a great chance that it's not, because it's for them. It's, you know, they're making a minute of deep thinking. And it's not even deep thinking. It's just common sense thinking. Like, wait a minute. So the government has been, you know, telling us for years, forever and ever, drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. You're going to jail if you do drugs. Bad, bad, bad. And all of a sudden they go, wait a minute. You can do drugs. It's okay. We'll help you. We'll fund it for you. You know, we'll set up facilities for you. We'll do all of the things. All you have to do is come in and get as high as you want. And oh, by the way, are you a registered voter? Let's help you with that too. Come on, guys, just smarten up. I just want them to smarten up a little bit. Not even a lot. Just a little.
It's back to Ronald Reagan, the greatest president in our lifetimes.
Indeed.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of that stuff is, it's so frustrating, isn't it? Because it is so much of simple, basic common sense of just taking that pause to think about this. Like, think about 5 miles down the road. What is that going to look like? And well, here's what it looks like, you know?
Well, and moving on to our next, right? Here's another one where the government believes that they're helping, right?
Yep.
And we're talking about humanitarian aid into Gaza. So if people didn't see this happened just a few days ago. And what it was a cargo delivery system, parachute drop of 38,000 meals, right? Mm-hmm. So it was about 10 or 12 pallets kicked out of the back of a cargo plane on parachute into Gaza. All right. I have been on the receiving end of these kinds of operations as resupply. And let me tell you what happens. A cargo plane flies over. There's 10 or 12 pallets, right? So you've got 10 pallets and there's 38,000 MREs, there's 3,800 per pallet because the Air Force is efficient. They're going to, they're set up and they go out two by two, right? Do 10 pallets go out. Each has an individual parachute on them. At that point, they are at the mercy of nature. Gravity, wind, right? All of those things.
Sure.
And those things are just falling. They may fall on top of a building. They may fall on top of a car. They're going to try and put them in places where people aren't. But here's the problem. And when people see them coming down, they run towards them. Now, What you have just done is you have put one of the most valuable things in Gaza out into the masses, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got 38,000 meals being dropped into a place where food is at a premium. So who is going to take control of that? The people with guns. That's who's going to take control of that. It's not going to be, unless they're there first and they're there before the people with guns get there, the average person is not going to see very many of those 38,000 meals. Right. Those meals are probably, and I have not seen a single bit of coverage since the airdrop, not a minute. So got dropped. I would bet a dime on a dollar that most of that, a good portion of those meals, were taken control of by Hamas, by the Palestinian government, which is a terrorist organization, and they're being controlled, and it's not getting to the people who need it. So this humanitarian aid operation, it was not very humanitarian. It is now leverage, and it is being used by the Palestinian government, which is Hamas, for their own benefit and not for the benefit of the people. I can promise you that. And if you need an example, a historic example, people love movies. Okay. Go back and watch, because this happened. This is a true story. Go back and watch the opening, maybe 15 minutes of Black Hawk Down, right?
Oh,
there's
okay.
A great scene where there is a UN food convoy, bags of rice, big trucks pull up. Crowds of Somalis who are starving rush the trucks. Big bags of rice are being dumped over the side. People are fighting over it. And soldiers, loose term, from Mohammed Fadha Aidid's militia came up, started killing people, and took control of the rice and used it for their own well-being and to control the people, right?
Right.
They probably doled out some of that rice, but it was to control the people. Which I guarantee is the same thing that's going on in Palestine right now, in Gaza.
Right.
I won't say Palestine because Palestine's not a place. In Gaza. So this brilliant idea by the United States government to aid the people in Gaza with food was a horrible, horrible idea.
So talk to me about the chain of command on that. Like, does that come straight from... I laugh when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Does that come straight from the president? Like, who's the, you know, who had this brainstorm that this would be a great idea?
So what you probably got was the president saying, hey, this is the whole thing going on in Israel and Gaza is bad. It's a bad look. We need to do something, but we have to do something that's not too pro-Israel and not too pro, you know, Hamas Palestine. So let's do something, you know, in the middle, right? And so the National Security Council and a bunch of his military advisors, the chairman and all the chiefs of staff will get together and they'll put their heads together and they'll come up with, and he'll put out more guidance than that, but they'll probably come up with 6 or 7 or 8 different ideas with varying degrees of detail and say, hey, sir, here's what we think the best options are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many they want to give him. And this was probably pretty high on the list because it's a low impact operation. 1 airplane, 2 airplanes, couple of air crews, chances of, you know, anybody getting injured with an, you know, with an American flag patch on them is about zero. So zero threat to that. And on the headline, humanitarian aid mission, it all looks great. Right.
Right.
So this is, you know, it was probably the easiest. It was the easy button answer, both in the meat, because they will evaluate the media impact of it. They'll impact the effectiveness of the operation. You know, they'll evaluate all of those things and then they'll come to the boss and say, hey, sir, this is what we think we should do. We gave you a bunch of options, but we think this one's the best one. And I've been in enough of those briefings, not at the presidential level, but at pretty high levels where they will absolutely sell the plan that they want to go with. Right. So DOD, and in this case, there's probably some crossover between Department of Defense, Department of State, some other folks involved. But they will sell it to the president as this is the one that we want you to go with this. You know what I mean?
Without saying, yes,
they will say it. And so they'll, you know, there's a lot of different techniques to do it. And I've seen a bunch of them, but they will sell the one that they want to do. So whether this was the president banging on the table and saying, do that, or it was DOD and DOS saying, this is the one we want to do. Somebody at pretty high level sold this and blessed off on it. But I guarantee you the whole thing was generated from the White House staff, maybe not necessarily the president himself, but the chief, probably the press, secretary, that whole, you know, that whole, his advisory group, all those people were probably weighing in that we need to do something, to downplay the effect of, you know, U.S. involvement in Israel, Gaza.
So what's so gross to me about this and so many things that our government does and has done is the fact that, you know, we say a lot of things about government and how it's run and the people that run it. But the one thing that they're not is stupid. They're not stupid. There was never a point where there wasn't a conversation or a knowledge or understanding of what could happen or what was likely to happen. And they went with, well, let's do optics. You know, that's more important. Let's use words like humanitarian aid, because that's what people will key. That's what everybody will key on. Oh, humanitarian aid. It'll appease this group, but it won't get that group angry. You know, it was never about the people on the ground who are starving, who are dying, who are suffering. It was never about them at all. It's they don't care. And that's the part to me that is so overwhelmingly gross. Like, I could come up with plenty more words for it, but that's the one I'm going with right now. It's just gross to me that they know exactly what's going to happen. And they're like, that's okay. It's an ugly world, man.
No, it's a lot of this is about risk. A lot of it is about, you know, how deeply the U.S. wants to get involved, you know, what kind of assets we would put on the ground or willing to put on the ground. Listen, a much more effective way to do the same operation would be to put together a convoy, a UN convoy or a U.S. flagged convoy for crying out loud, and drive them from Israel into the occupied territories and set up food distribution points with U.S. uniformed soldiers, right? Then you stand there and you hand these meals, you feed these people, literally feed these people and make sure that the people who need the food are getting the food and it's not being used as a weapon or it's not being used to control the people or it's not being misused or given to people who shouldn't have it, right? But there's a lot more risk involved in that. Right.
Sure.
You put, you know, a platoon, you know, 30, 40 kids out there. I shouldn't say kids because, well, they would be younger than me. So, yes, kids. But you put 40 kids out there.
Anybody younger than us is a kid.
Yeah. And they're manning a food distribution point. And, you know, God forbid a suicide vest or something like that happens. Now you've got, you know, the Kabul evacuation all over again. And then it looks bad. So you're right. Success of this mission was not the priority, because if it really was about feeding people, you could do it in a lot better ways. The actual feeding, this was about optics. It was about doing something to appease the masses. It was about headlines, you know, and those kinds of things. It made somebody feel good about what we were trying to do, and it looked better. But I can promise you, those 38,000 meals did not get to 38,000 hungry bellies, guaranteed.
Yeah. And, you know, and they're obviously, you know, trying to walk this tightrope of, you know, because as is obvious, as we all know, the division now in our government, in the Liberal Party or in the Democrat Party, liberal, they're divided now. You know, they're fighting it. It's Israel versus Hamas. It's one side feeling this way. And this has caused the biggest rift, I think, that we've seen, certainly. And it's funny because we were just talking recently about, you know, the Squad and how there's so much unity in their party versus the Republican Party. And, you know, this is a big divisive topic for well, the world really, but definitely in the country. You see it, of course, in our government right now, in the Democratic Party. They're struggling. They don't really know what to do with this. You see it, of course, as we talked about earlier before we came on air, Hollywood, you know, they're divided. Whereas they, you know, they used to do their, I mocked them just recently doing one of those black and white videos of how, when they do their, you know, their big videos of gaining support for something that's really just them trying to look really important. But yeah, it's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, you said it. We were talking about before we started recording, Israel, Gaza, everything that's happened, you know, since October 7th, has really made it okay for people to take a position that they believe in, which is great to see. But especially in the entertainment world and in government, you're starting to see people take a position that doesn't necessarily follow along with whatever their party is or whatever, even whatever their friends are, right? You mentioned Hollywood. Right. There's a massive population, you know, Jewish population in Hollywood, has been for decades, right? That's not a secret. And what you're starting to see is rifts in Hollywood, you know, between those that are pro-Israel, and then you've got the anti-Semitic sentiments are starting to come out. And you're starting to see divisions even within the entertainment industry based on this, which you never saw before, right?
Right.
You know, Hollywood was
no, you did not.
Right. As blue as blue gets. They all agreed with everything that was coming out of Washington, D.C. if there was a Democrat in office. But now, not so much. And now you're starting to see that bleed into other topics. We talked about the drugs in Oregon. You're starting to see that. You're starting to see some backlash, especially in and around L.A. and Hollywood, about the homelessness, right? That Hollywood is no longer okay with because it's gotten out of control. You know, you've got homelessness in Florida, same thing. Right. You're starting to see it's really funny. The older Saturday Night Live guys like Dana Carvey and Bob, what's his name? Anyway, that like that whole crew, those guys are it's funny. They're a bunch of crabby old men now because they're all turning conservative and they're not buying off on any of this stuff. But really what I believe that this issue specifically, Israel, Gaza has been great for people to take a position and disagree with each other publicly in forums and between people that wouldn't have disagreed on a single thing, you know, 8 months ago. Wouldn't have happened.
Right.
But now it's okay, which is good. That is a good thing for all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Because they're not just in lockstep, you know, just repeating in their echo chambers, repeating all the same things because they don't really care. Now, suddenly this is something they care about and they're speaking up, and it's very interesting to watch. It is surprising to see. I don't know if I ever would have been able to peg the thing that would, you know, shake some people out of their stupor or stupidity, whatever the case might be. And really stand for something of consequence and significance, and here we are. It's happening, and you're seeing some. You know, we mentioned the within the Democratic Party. I was just watching a video earlier today of AOC getting chased down by you know the same people that she calls her own, basically, and calling her out for her stance and not, you know, doing what they wanted her to do. And she had made a statement or a tweet or something about, you know, how glorifying protesters, how it's supposed to make people feel uncomfortable. You know, it's good. And she likes it. Well, she got protested and she didn't like it at all. She dropped a big old F-bomb at them. And she was mad. She was big mad. So that came back and bit her on the tush. And, you know, it's interesting. It's just interesting. And I don't necessarily agree with everything or, you know, half of everything, but it's interesting. Like you said, it's interesting to see people, speaking out, and having those conversations, and they're tough conversations because when you find out that somebody that you're very close to, or you think you're close to has a entirely different perspective on such a big topic. You know, yeah, it's pretty wild to watch for sure.
But you know what? We had 9 heads agree on one thing.
Yes, that we happened. Did.
That happened.
Yes, we did. Right? What? And I mean, it's the right decision, and it would have been horrific if it weren't that. I can't imagine in any universe that should not have been what happened. I'm personally relieved that it did. And that is whether it was Trump or somebody else. I don't care who it is. Given the circumstances that we're in right now, he absolutely should not be taken off of any ballots in any state for any reason. And thank goodness SCOTUS laid the law down, basically.
Yeah. And the decision, you know, the word on the decision was twofold. One, he hasn't been convicted of anything, right? So you can't arbitrarily take him off of a ballot because he hasn't done anything wrong. And two, because they said, hey, states, this is a federal election. You don't have the right to do that. You want to do that within your own state on state ballots, state level elections? That's up to you, your state constitution, and your state Supreme Court. But on a federal ballot, can't do it. Not your
can't
place.
Do
don't
it.
Do it. Right? Now, these, you know, everybody has been commenting for the last, I don't know, my entire lifetime about the Supreme Court and how it's politicized and, you know, so many justices under whichever, you know, president put them in there and whatever party they are and blah, 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 blah. 9-0. Okay. They
nine
all
to
agreed.
Nothing.
They all agreed on this. And so these are the 9, you know, greatest legal minds in the United States right now, at least as a collective. And you know what happened already today? There are 2 Congress people, one of them a lawyer and a former Harvard professor who believes that he knows better, right? And I'm talking about Representative Raskin and Representative Smallwell, who have already said they are going to find a way to go around the Supreme Court and make sure that President Trump is not allowed on the federal ballot. Like, I understand it's theatrics for their voters and it's all those things, but the arrogance associated with that is the worst thing for our three, you know, the 3 legs of the stool. That's how our guy, right? We all saw that when we were growing up, right?
Yeah.
3 legs of the stool to believe that they can just push one of those aside. Actually, really, they're pushing 2 of them aside and they're making Congress the most powerful because this way they are dictating the presidency and they're pushing the Supreme Court off to the side, right? Mm-hmm. The level of arrogance there is unbelievable.
It's astounding
to be tried.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Right. And you know, what's also astounding is that they'll get some support. They'll get some people that are like, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And of course, as soon as they get shot down, you know, those people back and be like, I don't know. I wasn't agree with that. They're crazy. you know how they all operate. But I mean, they are literally looking at the foundation of what our country is built on and saying, no, it doesn't work for us because it's not what we wanted. So we're just going to, you know, it's like, you know, people trying to change the Constitution. We don't need that. That doesn't fit. You know, so people are out of their Evan Levin minds and they should be booted out just for that alone.
It's bordering on treasonous, right? I mean, it really is.
You know, it's funny. I almost said that. I'm like, I don't know if that's like the right word for it, but it is though, right? That's treason against your country by basically trying to subvert the law of the land, essentially, right?
Yeah. It's you know, that whole, like insurrection thing, right? That they keep.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. Because you're right. They will get some backing. Some people will stand behind them. It will die very, very quickly and quietly, truthfully. And it is all it's all theatrics for their voters.
Right.
But regardless, like, this is egregious. It really is egregious. And the arrogance associated with it is baffling to me. But the fact that 9-0 wasn't enough of a message.
Right.
Like, this is one that anybody, again, with any amount of brain should look at and go, we probably need to leave that one alone. right? We probably need to just walk away. Like, mm-hmm. I know Illinois just did it just the other day, like last week, and the same day that actually in the same decision where the judge was like, yes, take him off the ballot. Oh, by the way, we're going to suspend my own decision because I know it's going to be appealed within the next 4 days. And I mm-hmm. know that the Supreme Court is ruling on this, but if it stands in Illinois, this is what's going to happen. So even mm-hmm. then, you know, the judge knew it was the likelihood was about zero. But if right. there's another state, another state's attorney or another state Supreme Court beyond today that decides to try this crap again, like that should be, you should be tried for treason.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now you are leading, you know, you're on the brink of leading an insurgency against the United States government because the Supreme yes. Court just said no. And I get it. Appeals mm-hmm. and people are going to say, well, you guys just said question everything. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. We did within reason. This is
not within reason.
When yeah. nine,
this
nothing,
is not.
Yeah. When 9-0 is the decision, there is no reason after that. None.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So guess what, y'all? You are no doubt going to be seeing that face on that ballot, no matter what state you're in. Like it, love it, hate it, whatever your feelings are. That's what you got. Oh, and don't forget, guys, you know, here's your other choice, though. You know, sorry.
So
had to.
And I'll throw this in. Because this is the new, so two things happened just within a couple of hours. Michelle Obama said not running for president.
She said she's not doing it. I saw that.
She's not doing it. And then the one from, I think, Hillary, Secretary Clinton yesterday was, he's old. Get over it. Get used to it. Just accept the fact that he's old. Listen, we accepted the fact that he was old 4 years ago. It's not about his age.
No.
It really isn't. It's about his competency. So I wouldn't care if he was 67. I wouldn't care if he was 57. If he's acting like this, right? Mm-hmm. The guy's got dementia. And that's what this is about.
He cleared his exam without a cognitive test, but you know, cleared it. So all good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So crazy.
But yeah. Just forget the fact that he's old is what she said. Just forget over it.
Okay.
Accept the fact that he's old. No, absolutely not.
Nope. We're fine as we can be, as fine as we can be with old. We're just not okay with dementia, cognitive decline to the extent where he can't remember anything whatsoever. He can't debate. They won't let him debate. You know, his engagements are very limited. You know, any speaking thing that he does, very, very brief, very short. They're already talking about they're not going to be putting him out there. They're going to have, you know, what is it called? Pinch hitters. I shouldn't try and talk in any kind of baseball terms. I don't know anything about baseball. But, you know, they're going to try and put other people out for him to basically speak for him on his behalf. Come on now. I mean, this is just to the point of full on absurdity. So. But this is the circus we're living in. And, you know, here we go. Grab our usual saying, guys, grab your popcorn because the show continues on and on and on.
and State of the Union's coming. He's going to be
coming.
There's no hiding. But, you know, watch how much he actually speaks, because I think it's going to be very, very little. But it is coming.
Yes.
On full display. Nowhere to hide.
Words. Mm hmm. Yes, indeed. All right, guys. Well, the show is over for us for tonight. We enjoyed it. We hope that you did, too. We look forward to your comments and carrying on these conversations more with you guys. We thank you all the time for tuning in and joining us. We absolutely love you to pieces. Clay, do your job.
Hey, listen, folks, last week we had we did something a little bit different. Right. We released not just the full show, but we broke it into some segments. We had some great response.
Yes.
If you liked it, let us know. We want to keep doing it. If you like it, if you didn't like it, let us know that too. But feedback is always, always welcome. We love it. So we're here doing this. You know, we do this for you guys. As much as we love talking to each other, we do this for you guys. But as always from me, you know, I love to be here. And till next week, keep moving, keep shooting.
See you next time, guys.